not take up too much of everyone's time, and given that we have a good turnout on the phone. So why don't we start? So the first item on old business is that as we have been going along with these meetings, we've been talking about what recommendations we could put into the chapter on service recommendations. Someone else join us? Yeah, this is Donnie. Hey, Donnie, how you doing?
Good.
But I was just getting started talking about our draft chapter 9, which is the service recommendations chapter. So the document that I emailed to everyone is basically the most up-to-date version of this chapter that we as a committee have discussed and I have crafted for you all. And so in terms of the recommendations, all the recommendations have been brought forward to the committee, and you guys have given me your input and your feedback, any changes you wanted, and I've made those changes. So what we have here is basically the most recent draft of Chapter 9, and I wanted to make sure that we have basically what we want in here, that as a service committee, you all feel like this is a solid set of recommendations, or if you have any tweaks to the current list, please provide those at this time. If you want me to walk through them, I can do that. Since I know that we've had people coming and going off of calls over the week, I can go. I'll just briefly go through them. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay, so we have the integration vision statement, which pulls from a couple of different sources. First, it pulls from some of the public testimony that we have received at our quarterly meetings over the past year. It also pulls from an earlier discussion that this committee had as to making sure that the council really promotes a continuum of community-based housing options and being able to talk about what it means to choose an integrated setting that fits a person's preferences. So I did take some language from the letter that HHSC submitted in response to CMS drafting some rules about qualified residences and integration. So that is also an area that I pulled from in crafting this. But it's basically our just saying this is the intention of the council when it comes to integration. The next recommendation, again, also came from is mirroring the HHSC letter to CMS, but looking at removing regulatory barriers on 1915C waivers in terms of basing the waiver on needs rather than diagnosis. So that was, this language is very similar to what was submitted in that letter. Then the next recommendation was looking at guidance on eligible qualified residences for 1915C waivers. And this is short and sweet, but basically just is recommending that there be definitive guidance so that way it's not left up to possible, multiple interpretations that different states could have on qualified residences. The next recommendation is we had a conversation with this committee on the outpatient competency restoration pilot program and looking at that as a current best practice for trying to provide assistance to persons with mental illness that have been found incompetent to stand trial and trying to help them recover in a community-based setting rather than an institution.
And I talked to, this is Bill from DSHS. I talked to
Hello.
I talked to Jennifer Swinton, who's the subject matter expert for recommendation number 3, and she just wanted to give her support as well, so we'll put DSHS behind that one.
Wonderful.
Sounds great.
Wonderful. I'm so glad. And Jennifer's been very helpful in giving me the data on the how cost-efficient that program is.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been very helpful.
Yeah.
The next recommendation is on the recovery-oriented systems of care, and we had 2 women on the phone from DSHS that Bill was so kind to bring into the call, where we talked about recovery-oriented systems of care, and you know what their focus is, and how we could help bring the affordable housing entities, local communities into this partnership. We received some feedback from local ROSCs saying that they do want to have an emphasis and a priority on providing affordable housing to these persons that are affected by substance abuse disorders. And so that's kind of saying how do we promote this coordination and partnership effort. That's what that recommendation was on.
And to give you an update on that, Ashley, Texas Recovery Initiative actually had a national webinar presenting, kind of the efforts that are occurring here in Texas.
Uh-huh.
And they are hopefully continuing to advance those programs across the state as they grow, and hopefully eventually we'll get some funding behind it as well. So that's a promising practice.
Yeah, right, absolutely. And that would be great to get some funding to the local RSCs.
Yeah.
Okay, great. The next recommendation was looking at the behavioral health pilot. We had made a recommendation, the 2010-2011 plan, we hadn't made a recommendation on this in the last plan, but it did come up as a best practice for the areas that have had this pilot so far, which have been Bexar County and Travis County thus far. And so Alan Pittman and Dina Stoner were nice enough to provide me some data to talk about basically how successful the pilot has been and the possibility of being able to expand that to other geographic regions, and so basically looking at how the council can promote that behavioral health pilot to the legislature. And then the next recommendation is actually mirrors a previous recommendation from the 2010-2011 plan in terms of increasing funding for assertive community treatment service packages. And so what I did is I took that same recommendation we made last time, but I beefed it up a little bit in terms of providing some more information about the assertive community treatment teams and how they work and how many exist, but that we are looking to make sure that persons who have mental health illnesses or substance use disorders or both, ensuring that they have access to services within community-based settings through ACT. So that recommendation is one that was provided last time, but we're kind of changing our language around it to beef up kind of the way that we talk about it this time. So that was number 6. Number 7 is looking at Project for Assistance in Transition from Homelessness, or PAF. And I think that this was a great idea that brings in our conversations that we had at the previous meeting about homelessness and the co-occurrence of persons with disabilities who are homeless and the cycle that they go through if they can't get connected to the right resources in the community, as we see a lot of cycling through state hospitals of homeless persons that have a mental illness. And so this was a recommendation about utilizing past allocation prior to the discharge of someone with a mental illness who is exiting a state hospital and at risk of returning to home. that's where that's that recommendation. And I think that it is an interesting idea that, you know, is worth exploring further. I know Bill's working on exploring that one.
That's correct. I'm still working on it. I've actually am going through the former director of social work here at ASH to try to connect with the current director of social work so that we can somehow get some data. She hasn't been able to provide any at this point, but I'm not going to give up.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad. I think that this is a good avenue to pursue.
Definitely.
Then recommendation number 8 is about local benefits counselors, and this was a conversation where we talked about how we have the benefits counseling program and how it would be really beneficial to connect benefits counselors to the staff that are required to conduct discharge planning tasks within institutions to ensure that there is a seamless transition of those individuals and that those individuals are educated about what's out there in the community for them and their rights to obtain those community-based supports. Then recommendation number 9, this is, so in the last plan we said, hey, we want housing navigators, and Dad was so kind as to make that happen. Thank you, Dad. And so this time we're saying, all right, we got them. We want more of them. I think that what you know, this is saying is that we are seeing signs of success in the current pilot within the Aging and Disability Resource Centers that have received this housing navigation money, and I think that we are trying to promote what looks like a great connection of our Aging and Disability Resource Centers to the housing resources in the community, so that way the consumer has that direct connection, that direct relationship once they come into an ADRC. Then another recommendation about housing navigators, we just can't get enough of them, we have to make another recommendation. and that this one is about ways in which we can get to property managers that provide affordable housing in the local community that Aging and Disability Resource Center is in. I think that we had talked about, you know, how do you get to those existing properties. So not looking at, you know, anything that's coming down the pipeline, but those existing properties that are out there in the community to make sure that property managers understand the needs of those tenants. And so we recommended something like this in the last plan, but we're expanding it a bit to say, you know, we really think that housing navigators are playing a great role in this field, and we want to make sure that they continue to do some type of standardized education and outreach through perhaps a presentation format. Also, the housing recommendations chapter, so the housing committee has recommended something about affirmative marketing plans for affordable housing programs. And so we were thinking that it would be in the best interest of these affordable properties to become educated about who their local housing navigator is and who their local Aging and Disability Resource Center is, and make those connections more solidified. So that's it. That's the chapter. I think it's great. I think that you guys have given a lot of really good input. Are there any critiques or any additions?
Ashley, this is Jonas, and I, for the first recommendation, I'll help you massage that a little bit, because the consolidated waiver program that we use as an example is a good example, but we were directed by the legislature to terminate that, so we did.
Oh.
So we need to just couch it in this is an example that, you know, that we had that worked well, but it's not in existence at this time. So just put it more in past tense instead of present tense.
Okay. I will do that and run it by you.
Okay. Other than that, I think everything looks really good.
Thank you, Jones. Any additional feedback on the chapter?
Yeah, this is Donnie. On recommendation number 8, my AAA colleagues will probably kill me for this, but I think it might be a good idea to broaden that a bit. I really like the idea about better connecting with nursing homes, social workers. I think there's an additional role to be played with hospital discharge planners, because oftentimes, in fact, that's how most people land in nursing homes, is by being transferred there from hospitals. And a lot of times I don't think the hospital discharge planners are aware of community-based resources or even mindful that the patient has a right to choose the setting to which she's discharged. So I'm wondering if we might also encourage the benefits counselors to establish stronger relationships with hospital and rehabilitation discharge planners, with the goal of diverting some people who would otherwise be placed in institutional settings.
Got it. Yes. I think that sounds like it's a very proactive approach. So I think it fits well with the recommendations.
The issue there is capacity. I mean, typically the benefits counselors are barely able to stay on top of their current workloads. But again, I think the recommendation would work well on a broader level, and we may need to look at addressing resource issues through some supplemental funding.
Okay, great. Anything else? All right. And the other item that was on the agenda as old business was the cross-agency education and training information. And on the last call, Amy and Bill and Donnie provided some great feedback on saying, okay, you know, what of the cross-agency education and training recommendations were still relevant, which ones were actually feasible, which ones, you know, should, of those that haven't been accomplished, should we continue to promote? And so I also had somewhat of a similar conversation with our housing committee. And what they, you know, came up with, which I thought was a decent idea for us as a way of addressing the cross-agency and education recommendations from the last plan, is to utilize Chapter 1 of our new plan. Chapter 1, as it's written currently, goes through every single recommendation we made and said what was the progress on the recommendations. And the Housing Committee recommended that more than just state the progress, we could also add some language that says the Council continues to see this as a priority and recommends that and whatever organization needs to look at it, so state agency or the legislature or the governor, that they continue to see this as a priority of the Council, basically. So they said that to add to Chapter 1, saying here's the old recommendation, here's our paragraph on the progress that's been made thus far, and then for those which we see as the priorities, a little paragraph that says the Council continues to see this as a needed, as an added benefit to the state of Texas in increasing service-enriched housing. So does that make sense to everyone?
It does to me.
Sounds good.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. And so I want to make sure, though, because there were a few of you that weren't on the last call, that if you look through those cross-agency education and training recommendations, and there are ones that jump out at you as, you know, this definitely needs to be recommended again, or this looks really and feasible, maybe we shouldn't. Please send me your feedback through, you know, email or phone call. I did receive a lot of feedback from Amy and Donnie and Bill last time that I'm going to be incorporating, but I want to make sure that everyone has a chance. So please do look at what we recommended in the last plan, and let me know if you feel very strongly about a particular recommendation being moved forward. All right. So then the next item on our agenda is draft chapter 6. So everyone, I hope everyone got this. I attached it. It's the chapter on the CMS grants and HUD Section 811 demonstrations. So I remember at our December quarterly meeting that there was a lot of feedback I received saying that we really do want to highlight the efforts that are made within the CMS grant, and then for applying for Section 811 funding, we do want to highlight that effort because it so closely aligns itself with the mission and purpose of the council. So I crafted this chapter in order to say, you know, we are looking, the council is looking to pursue this effort and to provide guidance on this effort. And this effort will hopefully be, I mean, I don't want to say a guinea pig, but will hopefully be a first step in trying something new and innovative for creating service-enriched housing in the state. So is there any first impressions of the chapter as it's written? Do you want me to go through it?
I'm just looking through it again right now, Ashley, so
okay.
I apologize for my silence.
Oh, it's okay. The way that I formatted it, I structured it, was to give first some background on the Frank Melville Supportive Housing Act, to say here's how this whole thing got kickstarted, the catalyst to make it happen. Then I gave a little bit about the new approach to Section 811, mm-hmm. to get to I think what the council is, more envisions as service-enriched housing, which is integrated housing for persons with disabilities, particularly low-income persons. Then I gave some background on the CMS grant as it was written and the activities that were proposed by DADS and PDHCA in our application, which was successful, as you all know. And so looking particularly at the activities that are going to be implemented or are currently underway as part of that grant. Unfortunately, as the HUD notice of funding availability has yet to come out, I really can't write anything on that piece.
That was my next question.
Unfortunately, that would be a wealth of information if we had that NOFA, because I think it would give us more about the parameters of the Section 811 program. But as it stands right now, we are anticipating it as soon as possible. I mean, it's supposed to be imminent. So, but in terms of what's in this chapter, I do think we set it up as kind of a stay tuned kind of thing, because I think we're saying this is this effort we've undertaken that is a new innovative way of approaching the subject of affordable housing for persons with disabilities. And then I think that hopefully what we'll be able to do is update the governor and the legislature in the next plan to say, here's what happens. We apply for the Section 811 funding and cross the fingers we get it. And then that, so we can kind of have a part two to this chapter
mm-hmm.
in the future.
What's the timeline for this draft of the plan?
So I will be providing it to you all together on at your May 15th full council meeting.
Okay.
And then you guys can provide some input and feedback just like you did last time around. And then I will file all that, make those tweaks and changes that you request at the May 15th meeting, and then we will be posting it on the Texas Register for a public comment period, as well as providing it to public for our public hearings that we're having in June. So June will be the time for the public to see it and give their feedback.
Okay. actually, the reason I asked the question, I wonder if, and if this is not feasible, tell me, because I'm not wed to the idea, but I'm wondering if you could put a placeholder in here for the NOFA in case it comes out in the next, I don't know, 4 weeks or something, before the report is finally done, or if that would mess up the structure of this chapter and really just cause too much work.
Well, I think, you know, we can certainly say something about the NOFA was released on this date and there is a response due by this date. I think that since they're probably going to give us a 60-day of time, that we won't have an application done by the time this plan is done. So it may just be a couple of sentences that we could add once it's released, but we wouldn't have anything in terms of what the state of Texas's response would be to the application or to the NOFA.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I can certainly say or once we receive it, I can put some information in that maybe a paragraph or two. And that won't be part of what the public sees in the public draft of the plan, but it will be in the finalized.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you know, I suspect that during the legislative session, you know, if this NOFA is out there and when we apply for it, there may be some discussion about this at the legislative session. So.
Okay. All right. Will do. Any other questions or comments on this chapter 6?
I think it looks good.
It looks good.
Mm-hmm. Great. Steve, since you're an expert.
Yeah, I don't have any comment. It sounds great to me, too.
All right. Great. Wonderful. Well, this will be a really quick conference call then, guys. I think that we've accomplished the items that were on this agenda. In terms of our next steps, as I wrote on the agenda, our next council meeting is May 15th. So this is the last conference call of the service committee. And I continue to be open to any edits that you have to any of the chapters that I've provided. Of the plan, and if you feel like you need to get re-emailed a chapter, let me know. If you said, oh, I missed chapter 2, I need it again, certainly I will do that. The only chapters that this committee hasn't seen would be the housing recommendations chapter, as that is still underway by the housing committee. And then there is a chapter on barriers that I am currently crafting. But everything else I think you guys should have. And so I will, as I said, I'm going to be compiling all this into the draft that will be available to everyone for the May 15th council meeting.
Actually, will we get that draft some days before the 15th?
Doris, it is my utmost wish that I get it to you the Friday before the Tuesday meeting, but that is a tentative.
And Joan, Elizabeth, Ashley's plate is very, very full right now, so that's the hope, but please understand if it doesn't quite get there. Okay.
But I do want you to be able to see it all together. Obviously, I don't want to surprise anyone, so I will try my best.
Okay. Fair enough.
I sure appreciate it, Ashley.
Yeah, so do I.
It's
going to be easier to give you feedback.
Right.
On the 15th.
Right. You're totally right.
Okay.
Yeah, just let us know if you need anything from us, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I think that that Friday is the 11th. So.
Correct.
I'm going to shoot for the 11th, and hopefully I'll make it. Let's see. Oh, so the only other thing is, and Jonas had asked this question before some of you were on the call, that I'd say 95% solidified our public hearing for June. So we have local partners in a couple different cities that are going to be working with us. And so what I'm going to send out to everyone in the coming days is just a quick list. So just to give an update of here's our upcoming items for the months of May and June, and then I can receive your feedback on which of the public hearings makes the most sense for you to attend, which ones are just going to be conflicts for you. I certainly don't expect, like I told Jonas, I do not expect that we would get the majority of the council at each of these. I was really just thinking that, you know, we could, if we got, you know, since there are 16 council members, if we had half of them there, that would be a great turnout, because we don't need everyone. But if you feel like it's a priority to attend the public hearings, then, you know, that's great, and I hope that you can make it. But I will be sending out an email by the week's end, just to give you that May and June timeline, so you can see how things will be flowing through the public input process in June. That's just to give you an update on where we're headed.
Sounds good.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, anything you guys got for me?
Ashley, I have a meeting scheduled on my calendar for June 6th, and I thought it was for, do we have a meeting on June 6th right now?
So the way that everything, I know it was a long meeting, our March 5th quarterly meeting, but the way that it all shook out, that June 6th will be the Austin public hearing for the draft plan.
Okay.
So I remember what the feedback was on March 5th was, hey, we need to look at this plan early, so we moved our quarterly meeting up to May 15th, and then June 6th will just remain the Austin public hearing on the plan.
Okay, and that's fine, because there's actually a Rider 71 meeting that afternoon at Department of Health Services, so that's great. But I had it on there, and then I was like, did I write this down wrong? So I just wanted to double check.
No, thanks for asking, and okay. Yay!
So Ashley, is June 6th the first one?
Yes, it is the first one. And all right, great. Well, then I will make sure I have that email about the upcoming events to you by the week's end. And please provide any additional feedback you have by email or phone. And I look forward to receiving it.
Will do.
Sounds good.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.